Okay, we are actually,
this is the sixth week of the Biblical Worldview class. Even though I have week number five up there, we didn't make it all the way through, so we're just going to try to pick up where we left off last week. All right, you were given a packet. If anybody needs another packet, we'll have the slide notes from today on it. By the end of the class, by the eighth week, which is actually the middle of the class, I'll have a full booklet put together for you that you'll be able to have and then bring back. Anybody see anything this week or hear anything in the news that really kind of made them think of this class a little bit? Was there anything that you just thought, wow, that this should be addressed from a biblical perspective? Anybody see anything like that? Because all you got to do is flick on your TV every day and there'll be something on there. But I'm trying to stimulate you to see things when they appear on TV. I have an article here, and this is called Five Compelling Reasons Why Marriage Wasn't Meant to Be Monogamous. All right? So you see that the world has no problem telling you the way things ought to be. And all you got to do is pick up any magazine, listen to any talk radio, anything will tell you how you ought to act or how you ought to be. I don't care, you listen to the sports, I like telling the story. My sister was dating Tom Kowalski, and Tom had told me that he was agnostic, and he told me he didn't believe in God, and I argued with him and told him he did, and he met some other people from this church, and he found out that we had taken a very strong stand, and yes, Tom had told me that he didn't believe that there was a God. I tried to tell him, yeah, you believe in a God, you just want to acknowledge it because you actually operate from an ethical code or a moral code. And he tried to tell me, no, he makes up his own morals. But when I listened to his talk show all the time, how often do you think he would try to prove his point to be the right point? And so I would tell him, I said, when somebody does something wrong, when somebody, for example, the big thing now is the performance-enhancing drugs in Major League Baseball. Well, they might have been talking about that, and he would take the position that that was wrong, or they should be suspended. And I was like, see, you are making a moral judgment. You have to base that upon something. It's always based, as we said in this class, upon a religious belief, even though they may not acknowledge it or not. So him being agnostic, his was kind of like the cafeteria style of ethics and morality. Let's see, I'll take a little bit of you, thou shalt not steal, and I'll go over here, maybe not commit adultery. Oh, this one might be good, not to murder. And so they pick and they choose, but it comes out in everything that we do. So last week when we began the class here, we looked at that little video on the Starship Troopers. You remember all the aliens coming over the wall? Betty, you remember that, right? You went home and rented that video, didn't you? Yeah, Betty doesn't, Betty, if it's not black and white from the 50s and 40s, Betty ain't watching. That's just the plain facts. When somebody got killed in those days, they didn't show, I'm getting nailed with 50 bullets. It was like you'd see the guy shooting a gun and somebody would fall and, there was no blood and guts splattered all over the scenes. But anyways, it was an example to show you how we are just attacked endlessly and constantly by these false worldviews. Okay? And we looked at a scripture there from 2 Chronicles, King Rehoboam, and we talked about how when he abandoned the word of the Lord, what had happened? Shishak, the king of Egypt, attacked with just an innumerable host that was with him. And they captured Jerusalem, and they took the treasures of the temple, and they took it back. And Rehoboam became a kind of a slave to Egypt. And that's exactly why. The reason I put that up there is because that's what happens is when we abandon the word of the Lord as our foundation, as our basis for what we want to do. All right? So we try to gain an understanding about how the world and Christians look at the world. That was from the week before. Let me skip ahead here. We're looking at the six different alien worldviews striving for dominance in the world today. And we covered two of them already. And what was the first one? Anybody remember? Begins with the letter A. Atheism. Very good. Atheism, Ed, is what? That's exactly right. And in our culture today, becoming more and more militant in the promoting or the evangelization of that particular view. That's the predominant view in our public schools, in our college universities, and the secular class that you'll see on TV, okay? And then we're going to try to look at some common features of all the worldviews. That's kind of important that you know it. And watch some video concerning the alien message being preached by evangelists. So when you watch Oprah or when you watch somebody on TV, I'm going to tell you right now, they're an evangelist. They got a message that they're bringing forth. How to live your life. That's why she promotes books. You'll hear her constantly talk about religion. You'll constantly hear her talk about civil rights. Is civil rights a religious issue? Yep. Yep. Everything in life has its foundation in religion. Okay? And we began looking at the different aliens there. First one was atheism that said there is no God. We saw the little video. Remember the guy in the wheelchair? Stephen Hawking, considered one of the most brilliant minds in the world, and you saw how foolish he sounded. Okay? That's why the Bible says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness in God's eyes or in our eyes. We look at it and you go, how can you believe this stuff? Okay? So they said there is no God. We'll skip ahead. The second one we saw was agnosticism. And what's agnosticism? You have to prove it to them. But I'm going to tell you right now, I've done debates with agnostics. You can never, ever, ever, ever give them enough or anything that they're going to accept as evidence for God. You know, when you go into court, you have evidence up on that table, don't you? You have A, B, C, and D. This is the gun. This is this and that. That stuff means absolutely nothing until you put an idea behind it. Okay? So you could put a trillion different ideas into how that gun was used in a crime or what have you. So it's always incumbent upon the prosecutor to prove to you his theory upon how this thing was used, how this instrument was used. So when you give an agnostic, you say, okay, well, let's look at the DNA code of each cell. How did this come about through random processes? Well, that's not enough evidence for them. Or you say, well, let's look at the planetary system, and the Earth is just the right distance from the sun. Any closer and it would burn up. Any further away, it would freeze over and life would be impossible. Would that be enough evidence for them? Oh, no, that's, you know. Or how about the place of our solar system in the Milky Way? If it was somewhere else, life could not be upon this Earth. And so there's thousands of these things that you present. And you go, oh, God, I got to give you another one. Okay? So though they call themselves an agnostic, most agnostics are unwilling to listen to any evidence. And especially when you open that Bible and say, well, there was a man in history who claimed to be God, and he backed up that proof by doing the works that God could do, raising the dead, multiplying food, walking on the water, and he convinced a lot of people that he was God, and these people were so convinced they were willing to lay down their lives for him. You think that'd be enough evidence? No.
But don't they, like, say in society now, it's like the defense attorney puts doubt. You know, anything, politics or religion, doubt. You know, that's a big thing now. It's put doubt in your mind. Doubt about anything.
Yeah.
Food, anything. You can think of anything. Doubt is always that. No, they want to put that doubt in you.
There's a philosophy called skepticism. When you get, some of you young people get into college, you may hear that, you may have heard that term. And it means to doubt everything. And that's the way that you're going, not to believe everything that your parents told you, your pastor told you. When I was at Eastern Michigan University, they had this big pillar by the library, and everybody would post, you know, like the happenings, what's going on the campus, you know, the frat party or the football game or what have you, and they'd go out there and they'd spray paint it. Well, one time when I walked up there, somebody had painted it all white, and they put this sign up there. It said, question everything, from a skeptic type of point. So when I came back a day later, somebody else had come by and put under that, why? Okay? See, they questioned what they were being told. This guy's telling you question everything. Somebody had the brains to come back and say, well, we're going to question what you're telling us. But they don't like that because they want to be what? The final authority. We'll get to that in a little bit. All right, so agnosticism just says there's no knowledge of God existence. We looked at Penn Jillette, and Betty was in during the week, and we were talking about him. Now, he's actually someone who's kind of more, as an agnostic, willing to at least listen to the evidence if you present it to them. Okay? But most of them will just fight with you and give you a hard time. All right. Pantheism. You ever hear that word? The word Pan, remember Pan Am, the airline? Okay, or pandemic. It just, Pan means world in theism. It means that everything in the world is God. Okay, so that is a lot of the pagan Hinduism. So they would worship trees or they would worship rocks. They couldn't kill a cow. They couldn't kill a cockroach because there was some type of, that was God. Okay, and I'm going to show you everything is God, and we're going to look at a little video here, how I define the universe as a pantheist. After this is done, then we'll take a five-minute break and grab some of the food back there, and then we're going to get right back into it. So, Ed, can you come up here and work the control source? How I define the universe as a pantheist. That should be down there at the bottom there. Okay, I want you to listen to what this individual has to say in the video. Diana, could you hit the lights once he brings it? Go to the other one, atheist stronghold. I was going to use this one to start off the class here, so I'm just going to show about 2 or 3 minutes. This is actually a parody. This is a guy that owns a company, and he sells bumper stickers and all sorts of stuff that you can get that is against a biblical worldview. Watch, we're just going to watch a few minutes. It runs 7 minutes, but we're only going to watch 2 minutes. So, Ed, would you show that, please?
All right, we're inside.
The secret. He's pretending he snuck into this place, but it's really an advertisement for
what
their
I've
literature.
Seen so far, these people are going to hell. This place is full of atheists and left-wing propaganda and media. God created Adam, Sodom, mistake, and created Eve. Oh man, this is bad. Evil lurks in the bushes. Had enough. Vote Democrat. Oh, these people are going to hell. Fundamentalist means never having to open your mind.
Is that a shot at?
Oh. I don't know about you, but.
By the way, everybody's a fundamentalist.
I'm scared. Look at this. If you can't trust me with a choice, how can you trust me with a child? It's just terrifying. Iraq, irresponsible Republican,
so every
equal
bumper
crime.
Sticker he's pulling out actually has a
so they're against the war
religious
too.
Worldview behind it.
God is just pretend. Holy cow, there's hundreds of them. And they're sending them all over the world. They're sending them all over this country, and they don't even charge
that much.
Are they
evangelizing?
This stuff is going to go out fast.
They have a message they're trying
what
to get out?
What is this stuff? $2 or $3 a sticker. Man.
Is there a message of God that
fight
they're trying
crime,
to present?
Time, read a book. The Nerve. Feudalism, the original Christian coalition.
Are they demonizing anyone?
Don't believe
anyone?
In everything you think.
Are they tolerant of all views?
Coexist. Look at them.
No.
They want all the religions to get along together.
You missed this one.
Doing my part to piss off the religious right.
What do you? You don't see a whole lot on there about Islam, though, do you?
I don't know.
All right, you can. It's just a video. This is actually an advertisement for this place. If you can hit the like there, or go back to the next video, and then we're going to break in a second. How I define pantheism. Get back to our topic. But that hopefully will kind of show you that this guy, they're making millions of dollars off this kind of stuff, but they're sending out a message.
Welcome to the one
and if that we continue that video, they had books, they had videos, they had speakers that would come in, just like a church. All right.
We interview the world's leading apologists to provide credible answers to curious questions.
We've talked about what panentheism is. What is pantheism?
Pantheism means God is all, and all is God. Mary Baker Eddy is the most famous American. And that Hinduism, many forms of Hinduism are forms of panentheism. Benedict Spinoza, famous.
This is a guy here, the apologist for Christianity.
Was a pantheist. Plotinus in the 3rd century, he was a pantheist. Zen Buddhist are pantheists. All of them are different varieties of it. But ultimately, there's an ultimate, usually impersonal force, like in Star Wars is a good example of, may the force be with you. Prepare to meet the force, you know, you merge with the force when you die. So you have this ultimate impersonal force in most cases that you can tap into for power, and magic, whether black or white magic, and ultimately you're going to merge with when you die.
Okay, you can hit that. Hit the light right there. We'll take a 5-minute break. Go ahead. Of what pantheism is, the different ideas associated with that. If any of you know anybody that's in the New Age movement, this is the common philosophy that one day you'll become a god, or this podium is a god, or, you know, we don't eat meat because, you know, that was a god. I mean, it's ridiculous. And once again, these all have ramifications affiliated with it, all right? Panentheism, we'll skip over that one, is almost similar to that. It's the reverse. Instead of everything is God, it's just God is in everything. Pan, meaning the world, and in. So God is in everything, and they're really indistinguishable as far as worldviews. But it is something, you don't see that as much. You have pantheism, you'll see a lot more than panentheism.
Who comes up with all this stuff? I mean, these words like that. Who comes, you know, that, like biblical or something, they come up with these words like this?
No, these words are usually put together by scholars, by Christian apologists. So these words have been around for a lot of years. Okay? So this idea would be that God emanates, it's kind of like your soul in your body, that your soul emanates your physical body. So in panentheism, that the world, that God is in everything and it gives it life, or that's why you have to treat everything with respect because it's all part of God. Okay? You'll find a lot of people that are into nature worship, into the panentheism type of backgrounds. But that one, once again, that and pantheism are very, very similar. They're actually identical, to be honest with you. Okay. Everything is in God. We're going to skip that. Deism. What is deism? You ever hear that word before? What's that? Nope. Dave, what's deism? I know you know. That's why I call. Hang on a minute. You give Dave the microphone there. Deism.
Deism is... is deism where they... believe there's a creator, but he doesn't interact with creation?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Deist would be like Thomas Jefferson. You've probably heard them say Thomas Jefferson was a deist, and that there is a God. He created everything, but he wound it all up like a big clock, and he just lets it go. Natural law runs everything, and God doesn't have to intervene in anything. And God doesn't step into our lives and do miracles, and he has no interaction with man. So the deist, you'll find a lot of scientists that are deists. Albert Einstein was another one, was a deist. Okay, believe that God just, he created everything, but he's uninterested in the affairs of mankind. All right? And I'm going to show you a little video here. Richard Dawkins on the deist guy. Richard Dawkins is actually an atheist. We've talked about him a little before, and he's also considered one of the greatest minds in the world, but the guy is a, when you hear the guy, you'll find out he doesn't even do debates anymore with Christians because they used to mop the floor with him. So Diana, if you could hit the lights once again, and Ed, if you would hit Richard Dawkins on the deist God. This is an atheist, the guy talking about it.
Paul Davies, who devised the laws of physics, God the mathematician, God who put together the cosmos in the first place and then sat back and watched everything happen. And that would be, the deist God would be one that I think it would be, one could make a reasonably respectable case for that, not a case that I would accept, but I think it is a serious discussion that we could have. I mean, I cannot, I mean, if you could possibly persuade me that there was some kind of creative force in the universe, there was some kind of physical, mathematical genius who created everything, the expanding universe, devised quantum theory, relativity, and all that. You could possibly persuade me of that. But that is radically and fundamentally incompatible with the sort of God who cares about sin, the sort of God who cares about what you do with your genitals, the sort of God who is interested, who has the slightest interest in your private thoughts and wickednesses and things like that. Surely you can see that a God who's grand enough to make the universe is not going to give a tuppenny cuss about what you're thinking about and your sins.
Stop
and
it right there,
particular.
Real quick.
He believes.
He's an atheist, but is he telling us what God is like and what he would do? So you see, he's also an evangelist, isn't he? Where does he get his information from? How does he know what God would and wouldn't do? All right? Go ahead, continue playing here. It's just interesting how many things he has to say that you scratch your head and you go, why would God do it this way and not the way that the Bible says? Because he knows better. And as I said, if God isn't the one who we ultimately look to, mankind will be. So he sees himself as a prophet for science, a prophet for this atheistic view of the light of the world. Go ahead.
That the creator of the universe, the God who devised the laws of physics, the laws of mathematics, the physical constants, who devised the parsecs of space, billions of light years of space, billions of years of time, that this paragon of physical science, this genius of mathematics, couldn't think of a better way to rid the world of sin than to come to this little speck of cosmic dust and have himself tortured and executed.
Do you like that? This God who created everything, he sings the praises of this God, but then he brings him down. That, you know, this cosmic speck of dust to die. Mankind is the what, crowning achievement of God's creation, isn't he? You see how he debases even what man looks like. And that's part of having a worldview. What is man? Is he created in the image of God, or is he just an evolutionary thing? In his view of the world, who cares? But you just notice that he's got this indignation in his voice as to what is right and what is wrong, doesn't he? I can't believe God would do this. What kind of God would come down and couldn't think of a better way? All right, finish it out there and we'll move on.
So that he could forgive himself. That is profoundly unscientific.
Wasn't that he could forgive himself?
Not only is it unscientific,
so he could forgive
it doesn't do justice
us.
To the grandeur of the universe.
So you see that this guy's an atheist. He's talking about a deist God at first, and then he kind of takes the shots at the theist. Go hit the lights there, Dan. Go ahead, Anthony. You move better than Bob does, so
I was just saying it's ironic that here he is, this atheist, but then you think of Romans 1, and it's written in Romans 1 where it says, like, people even, they have this basic understanding that you can just look at creation and know that there's a God. And he says that he doesn't believe in a God, but here he is listing all the basic attributes of God and the things that is so common knowledge, and you can just look at the universe and say, and he's almost saying yes and no in the same sentence.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why I say you can show these people all the evidence in the world, but they reject it out of hand because their starting point is there is no God to begin with. Therefore, this could not have been done by a God. Okay? So, like I said, the majority of people, but Romans chapter 1 talks about the creation itself is an example that mankind is without an excuse. That everything, you look at the creation, you look at the vastness of the universe, you look at a cell, you look at a child, whatever it might be, you begin to study it and you see the complexity and how everything works together. And then you say, wait a minute, this all came together by accident? Is that what he believes? Yeah. All right. Who's got the wrong view of what life is like? Obviously these guys. But I'll tell you what, they'll spend their life attacking us, won't they? All right, we'll move on to the next one. Now, this is the most dangerous one of all. Theism. Now, we're all theists in this room. You know what the word theist means? Most people will consider themselves a theist, not a deist. A theist is someone who believes that there's a God and that this God interacts with mankind. So this would include Christianity. If you're a Christian, you're a theist. If you're a Muslim, you're a theist. If you believe in any type of God, to be honest with you, you're a theist because you believe that there's a God there that interacts, unless you're a deist. Then, okay? But this is the dangerous one because we've got to be able to differentiate and say which God is the real God, because the God of Islam is not the same God of Christianity. The God of the Mormons is not the same God of Christianity. The God of Jehovah's Witnesses But they believe that this God interacts within human history. Okay? So they believe that God exists and interacts with His creation. All right, we got a short little video there, a minute and a half. What is theism? Just the apologist talking about it, give you an idea. But this is the area that most of us will deal with people because they'll say, I believe in God, but God is like this or God is like that. And it's not the biblical God.
Freddie Davis here, president of Market Faith Ministries, coming to you once again from the library. Market Faith Ministries provides radical disciple training to help believers become more knowledgeable of and confident in their Christian faith. We are a lay seminary in a can. Today's question has to do, again, with one of the worldview positions. What does the theistic worldview look like? Theism is going to be the worldview that is going to be most familiar to Christians, as our faith itself is theistic. There are some other theistic belief systems besides ours. These include such religions as Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and many others. Essentially, theistic belief systems assert that there is an objective, transcendent God who is the creator and sustainer of the material universe. As theists, we tend to acknowledge that our beliefs are faith positions, and we get our faith from some kind of revelation. God has seen fit to provide mankind with knowledge of what ultimate reality is all about, and that faith is typically revealed in some kind of holy book. If you're interested in more information about theism in particular or about worldview in general.
So we see that theism is just that. There is a God, He interacts. And so almost all the cults that you're going to deal with, all the people from false religion.
Okay? And so the whole video itself shows that the state or man together as a group now becomes a God. I want you to, when you listen to the politicians speak, you're going to hear this phrase, it's the will of the people. The majority of Americans say, poll ABCD says. You know what they're referring to? They're referring back to the ultimate voice that the politicians listen to. Of course, they don't listen to it, but they like to convince us that they do. Okay? Yeah. So when you are speaking and they tell you that they do not believe in God, you say, yeah, you believe in God, but we'll have to define what your God is. Because if it's, is that going?
No.
If it's not the God of the Scriptures or Islam or what have you, it will ultimately go back to man. Now, the guy that we saw earlier, Richard Dawkins, who do you think his God would be?
Dollar.
It could be the dollar. That's exactly right. But he actually has a higher purpose than that because he's probably already a millionaire. But his God is science. And then he say, science will tell us this. And science will tell, can science give you the correct answer to anything? And I use this example all the time. Okay? Roger, stand up. Can science tell us how much he weighs? Karen can tell us how much he weighs, but science, do you think science can tell us how much he weighs? You're looking at me like, well, wait a minute, all we got to do is go home and stand, huh? Anthony says yes. How many agree with Anthony? Let me tell you, give you a bit. Don't, do not agree with Anthony. All right, hang on a minute. Here you go. Okay, on life in general. Okay, you can sit down, Roger. All right, if you remember when you were in high school, we got a bunch of high school kids. You had to do science project, right? Okay, and you had to come up with some idea. Now, so let's pretend that we're doing a science project and we're going to find, is that working now?
Yes.
Okay, let me give this back to Roger. All right.
You know, you move better than Bob did, too. All right. So we want to do our science experiment. Richard Dawkins, he believes that science will tell us all the answers of life. But science can never tell you what's absolutely true. So we say, okay, Roger, here's our experiment. We're going to weigh you, and we're going to find out how much you weigh. And so we got this very accurate scale. It goes, let's say, to 10 thousandths of a pound. And so he steps on there, and it goes 175.997, blah, 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 blah. Okay, and we write that down on our chart, don't we? Does that conclude our experiment? Does that just prove that he weighs that much? No. What do we have to do again? Now I have to have him step off, and now he's got to step back on the scale again. And we got to take another measurement, don't we? Do you think we're going to get the same reading that we got the first time? It's going to be off a little bit, isn't it? So we chart that. Let's just say first time he was 175.99. Next time it was 175.89. How many times do we have to do that experiment? Oh, no, you got to do a lot more than three. You ever seen a poll? You know, when they poll you, how many people they speak to? Thousands. You know, we talk to 1,000 people, and we got a plus minus. So we have to have Roger step up on this thing, and we have to do it probably a minimal of 1,000 times. Okay? Now, a lot of times we're going to get a similar number, but most of the time it's going to be a different number, isn't it? Now, which one of those numbers that we just scientifically charted is his actual weight? Michelle says the average. So the average, okay, wait, you add them all up, and then you divide by how many we did, and we get an average number, like a batting average. Is that the correct weight? No. How about if you did, some of you know what the mode is, or the median. What's the mode? Do you remember? See, I'm going to put you on the spot. You had to open your mouth, right? Hang on a minute.
The highest.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
What you do with the mode is you take all your numbers, you throw out the highest.
So I believe it's like the lowest number all the way to the highest, and then you take the number that's right in the middle.
That's right.
Okay.
Get a star.
Then how about the median? Wait a minute, give her back the mic. She's not done yet. This is logic.
Median? I think that's the average. Is the median the average?
No, the median, you would take out the highest and the lowest, and you would find what I believe is the number that repeats itself the most.
Gotcha. It's been a while.
So the question becomes, how do you determine? It's a random pick, isn't it? Is that his exact? No, it gives us a close approximation to how much he weighs. But did science now tell us how much Roger Andersack weighs? No, and that is true. Science, and remember this, can never, ever give you the exact truth. So when Richard Dawkins or some other atheist tells you that science will give us the truth, it can never give you the truth. It'll give you a close approximation. So it can never give you the truth to the questions of life. So he believes that there's an ultimate God. One more, and then we'll close for the day. All right? They believe in some type of final authority of reference. Do we as Christians believe in a final authority? What is it? God and His Word, the Scriptures, isn't it? And if you've been in this church any length of time, we constantly say it's got to be proven by the Scriptures, the authority of the Word of God. If it can line up with the Scriptures, we know we're what? On solid ground. But if it doesn't, we know we're on that sand. Did Richard Dawkins, did he believe in some type of final authority or reference? He believes in science. He also believes in what? Charles Darwin was right, evolution. He's an evolutionist. He's a biologist, by the way. Okay, quotes him at length, sings his praises. They got a statue to him over at Cambridge, I believe is where he's at. Okay, so even the atheist will have a final authority of reference. It may not be a book, but it may be a person, or it'll be their own thinking that they know it all. You can't escape it. Okay, let's go try one more. How about they'll provide a creed for their beliefs? In Christianity, we have a creed, don't we? If you young Catholics in here, you memorize the Apostles' what? Creed? I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty. Does atheism have a creed? Yes, it does. Well, the first starts, there is what? No God. And then the creed would say, does life have purpose? No. Does it have meaning? No. Is there heaven? No. Is there hell? If you go on the internet and look up secular humanism, and look up their creed or their statement of belief, you'll see they make a statement, there is no God, there is no salvation, we must save ourselves. Is that a creed? Is that a statement of faith? Yes. And even if it's not written out, they assume certain things. All right? So you can't get around it. The Muslims, they got a creed? Yep. So everybody has a creed that they abide by. So they tell you, well, you Christians, you guys believe in a creed. You follow some stupid dogmatic creed. And you go, well, you atheists believe in some stupid dogmatic creed too. Would you like me to show you what it is? And you start right from the beginning, there is no God. All right? Belief in some type of moral or ethical code. Does everybody believe in this? Huh?
No.
Yeah, they do. Why do you say no, Jerry? Why do you
think?
They
have no ethics.
Everybody's got ethics.
No, they just don't have any ethics about life or it's what's right or what's wrong. They make it up.
If you walked up and stole their wallet from them, would they complain?
Sometimes no.
If you walked up and give them a kick in the fanny, would they complain?
Probably.
Yeah.
Moral and ethical, it doesn't feel that they don't. It doesn't apply to them. It doesn't apply to them.
There's a book I'd encourage all of you to read, and we'll end with this. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Mere Christianity. It's not a hard read, but I recommend it to everybody that really wants to understand this. And he starts his book off, and he says, if you're in line, standing at the grocery store, and you've been standing in line for a half an hour, and you're getting up to the checkpoint, all some guy comes up, and he cuts in place, and you go, excuse me, into the line, Jack. And he says, no, listen. You operate according to a different moral and ethical code than I do. You see, in my world, I can cut in front of people and there's no problem. Does he still have an ethical and moral code? Yes. Are they in conflict with other people's? Yes, they are. You cannot, I don't care if you go to the deepest part of the Amazon, they're going to have a moral ethical code. The question is, whose code is correct and whose isn't? So you go to the deepest part of the Amazon, and there's a man who's married to a woman there, and you take his wife, what do you think his reaction is going to be? He's going to hunt you down, shrink your head. Okay? So you can see all these things, every philosophy, every worldview has these things in common. So when people tell you they don't have an ethical code, they're a liar. When they tell you they don't believe in a God, they're a liar. When they tell you that there's no authority that they refer back to or they don't have a creed, they are a liar. And so this week, I want you to pay attention when you watch the news or you read the newspaper or your magazine or the advertisement on a bus or you're listening to the talk radio or you're listening to the music on the radio. And I want you to ask yourself, when they're talking, are they referring to some type of final authority? What's the basis for what they're claiming to be right or wrong? Okay? Is there some type of ethical code that they're expecting everybody else to abide by? And especially in our day today, and we've talked a lot about this, homosexual marriage. Is there an ethical code that's being crammed down our throat? Is it coincide with Christianity? No, but it coincides with secularism. And if you don't obey that law, what's going to happen? There's a punishment going to be, right? But the question becomes, who determined that this is now right and this is wrong? It's either some type of God or it's some type of final authority. It could be man or Supreme Court or the legislature or what have you. Okay? So we're in there today. But I want you, when we come back next week, I'll ask some questions to give me some examples of different things that you saw during the weekend. I'm telling you, all you got to do is turn your TV on and you will ultimately get it. Whether you'll get it on the weather. You know, we just had that big tornado out in Oklahoma, didn't we? And everybody's out there, we need help, blah, 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 blah. Why? If you're an atheist, why do we have to help? Atheism teaches survival of the what? Fittest. Hey, those are just people. They don't mean nothing to me. Let's decrease the surface population of the earth. If you remember the It's a Wonderful Life, I think that was a quote in that movie. Decrease the surface population. Or no, it was from Ebenezer Scrooge. Okay? And he saw his life. So there will always be, I don't care what it is, what message is being sent, there's always a message that's being presented for some type of God. And we have to understand that as Christians because that's what our battle is. And that's why we battle these worldviews. And not to get sucked in thinking that there's some ideas that are just neutral. There's no neutrality. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. And that's why we're told to take every thought captive unto Christ Jesus. And when you begin doing that, be amazed at how many doors will get open for you to evangelize other people. It'll just be incredible. Okay? Let's close in prayer. Roger, would you close us in prayer, brother?
Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for being with us in our bad times. And don't forget, let's not forget you in our good times. Thank you for the food, Donna. Once again, putting her heart and soul and tell the love in the food. Thank you for Pastor Don for an exciting, really a knowledgeable class, putting up for all our crazy questions. In every name, God bless. Amen.